Hi, everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller, and you are with the U2 America TV Network and Biz Talk Radio. Coming up, we have our friend of the show, the fitness gourmet, Patricia Greenberg, and there is her very helpful website. She wants us to eat well, live well, and age well. In a few days, I want to tell you now, she's going to be back to talk about organic food and how to really tell what is good for us. But today, she's going to talk about how to get our exercise in without necessarily saying, hey, I'm going to go exercise right now. How to keep moving throughout the day to burn those calories in easy ways. So we look forward to Patricia. Bill Goldstein, our raconteur from the Hamptons, our own Andy Rooney, who loves to muse on, whatever comes to mind, is going to be in. Illuminating stories, acute observations, sizzling pet peeves. He is going to talk about, he's a former big-time sports executive. And he's now, like I said, he's acting like this Andy Rooney type guy. He's got vlogs and blogs, and he's just got the funniest things to say, and we love it when he comes on. He's going to talk about sports, what he thinks of sports and the way it's all enacted today, and some other things that are just on his mind. So we're going to look forward to that. Hey, trending in the news, that big face-off between President Trump and the Democratic leaders, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Again, just minutes after Democratic leaders arrive at the White House for a scheduled meeting today on infrastructure, all the attending press were told, hey, we're inviting you to the Rose Garden now. No explanation as to why. Well, the mystery was soon solved. Turns out President Trump was upset that the Democrats had a meeting earlier that day to talk about impeaching him. So earlier this morning, before his meeting with them, off they go. You know, he feels like stabbing him in the back or whatever. So he found out last night and had this sort of thing planned where he walked in and said, I'm out of here. So some sound now, here's what happened and why Trump says the investigations on him should end.
Of our country. Companies are moving back in. Things are going well. And I said, let's have the meeting on infrastructure. We'll get that done easily. That's one of the easy ones. And instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups. You people know that probably better than anybody. And I was just looking at a list of some of the things that we just did more than 2,500 subpoenas qualified for. And I let everybody talk. I let the White House counsel speak for 30 hours. 30 hours. I have 19 special counsel lawyers, 40 FBI agents. I said, open it all up. Let them have whatever they want. Nearly 500 search warrants. Think of that, a search warrant. Did you ever see a search warrant before? Neither did I. This was over 500 search warrants. And of the 19 people that were heading up this investigation, or whatever you want to call it, with Bob Mueller, they were contributors to the Democrat Party, most of them, and to Hillary Clinton. They hated President Trump. They hated him with a passion. They went to her big party after the election that turned out to be a wake, not a party, it was a wake. And they were very angry. These are the people that after 2 years and $40 million or $35 million, it'll end up being a lot more than that by the time all the bills are paid. This is what happened. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing. They issued 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers. Think of that, though. 500 witnesses. And then I have Nancy Pelosi go out and say that the President of the United States engaged in a cover-up. Now, we've had a House investigation. We have Senate investigations. We have investigations like nobody's ever had before, and there's nothing, we did nothing wrong. They would have loved to have said we colluded. They would have loved it. These people were out to get us.
Tell you a little something about yourself. You're
Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller, and you are with the U2 America TV network and Biz Talk Radio. You know, we all know that we should move more and get, you know, all the workouts we're supposed to get, what the experts say, but sometimes it's not always easy to jive that with real life. However, we have an expert today in to tell us how to keep moving, burn those calories, and get our heart pumping without necessarily going to the gym or planning a whole big thing. She is the fitness gourmet, our very good friend of the show, Patricia Greenberg. Her latest, or what, her one of her first books, Scrumptious Sandwiches, Salads, and Snacks. And she's got another one coming out in mid-June that we're really excited to see. It's called Eat Well, Live Well, Age Well, and we want to do all those things. So welcome back to the Fitness Gourmet, Patricia. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited. You know, I'm going to live as I tell people to do. I'm in my tracksuit, okay? And often we get dressed in the morning and we say we're going to go exercise. Mm-hmm. It's best laid plans. You know, somewhere in my day I'm going to find an hour to go work out, and we don't always get to it.
Yeah.
And a little bit about my background is not only am I a nutritionist, I got certified as a trainer, and I specialize in sports nutrition and senior fitness.
So that's so interesting.
Yes, and I found that as people get older, they work out less. And some of it is physical, that maybe some arthritis has set in, or you're just too tired, or you're more infirm than you were when you were younger.
But the more we move, the more we can help those ailments.
You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly right. Instead of focusing on exercise, let's just move. Mm-hmm. All roads lead to movement and healthy aging. Mm-hmm. So little things we do during the day, always take the stairs instead of the elevator. Okay, and if you have mobility issues, there's other ways that you can do that. Again, I always demonstrate just sitting on the couch and doing marching exercises of some sort. Any kind of arm, just raise your knees, knees up like this, just tap the floor. One thing that makes it more challenging is to hold your back up and hold your feet off the floor and just tap very lightly.
You know, that looks easy, but those are muscles we don't necessarily
use. Very hard.
I'll bet it can be hard. Mm-hmm. So even if we start with like two.
Absolutely.
Just go from there.
My brilliant cousin always said, something is better than nothing. And
don't
I love that saying.
Don't let the perfect stop you from the
good. Exactly. Yeah. And just a little bit, maybe five a day is the first you can do.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked extensively over the years about, you and I have keep bringing this up when we see each other, is the ability to stand up and to move around as you age.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of movement works. Okay, so we talked about the stairs. This is an old adage, but when you go shopping, park the car a little further away. Yes.
No, people like to park up front and fight with people in the closest spot.
So
that's
you pull
so
into
many
it,
ways of wrong.
Yes, you pull into a garage and everybody's clamoring from that one little spot. You just go one or two more up and you'll find plenty of parking spots.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I like to mention is we want to get our cardiovascular in shape. What that means is you want to get your heart rate up and your lungs really pumping, because contrary to how it feels, sometimes it's a little frightening if you're breathing heavy or your heart's pumping really fast,
mm-hmm.
but actually what that is doing is making your heart stronger. So as you age, you want to keep your heart rate down. You don't want it elevated. Very important to keep in mind. Also, respiratory facilities, they diminish a little bit as you age. And the more you work it, the stronger your lungs and heart will be as you get older. And it really helps you with everything. So again, if you're climbing the stairs, use your arms on the banister. Don't just delicately climb.
Mm.
If you're sitting in the house and you just need to do some movement, lifting your legs, also move your arms as well. Little things. Packing your own groceries at the supermarket. I'm very big on that. When I go to the store and I have a huge load, I open up my own bags and I start putting it in. And the checkers always say, thank you for your help. So many people just stand there and watch me pack my groceries. A little bit of housework. We're so automated now. You press a button to wash the dishes. You press a button to vacuum the house. Do a little bit yourself. Just walking around the house and fluffing up the pillows a little bit, or doing some spring cleaning. You could spring clean any time of year, but getting those things, it's the movement. Reaching up. How many of us stick things on the top shelf in our house and we forget, we don't even remember we own it.
Yeah.
So you have all this stuff on the top
and
shelf, you don't know
again.
It's there. Get on a ladder, start moving around, start cleaning out.
And I suppose before we do any of these things, mm-hmm. that we should stretch and make that a big part of our day.
Yes.
I know, I mean, as you age, I pulled my back out just brushing my teeth. It's ridiculous and silly.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like grabbing the banister and walking upstairs, or even reaching up in the cabinet, vacuuming for sure. I hear that and lawn mowing are two of the worst things for your back. So we've really got to be proactive in taking care of ourselves.
Absolutely. And I would say the one thing you do is when you get out of bed in the morning, slide out of the bed. Don't jump out of the bed and jar your body. Slide out of the bed gently. Stand up. Do a few toe touches. And I've always said, if you can't reach your toes, touch your knees. Just bend over. Put your arms up in the air. Get yourself moving. It's a little bit of a warm-up. It's a very good point. And then as you're moving throughout the day, your muscles become more supple.
What are some of your best tips for people who say, you know, I have bad knees, I can't take the stairs, this, that. And I know, I mean, I've heard things about if you can't jog, walk to the end of your driveway and back, then walk to the end of the block and back. So a little at a time can really go far. And we can, if you stay with it, you can make it into a good habit.
100%. Contrary to popular belief that people think that fitness is actually causing arthritis, and arthritis can be hereditary. I'll share a personal story. I'm a marathon runner. I've run 20 marathons and 110 half marathons. And I developed in my 50s, 110 half marathons, 110 13.1 mile races. And I developed a little arthritis in my hip that I'm trying to manage now with physical therapy and some other methods. And everyone says, oh, it's because you run too much. Well, I have friends in their 70s and 80s running every single day. So it isn't the exercises that cause it. A lot of times it's your posture and, like you say, lack of stretching and lack of paying attention to what you need. So stretching and movement. If you have arthritis in the hips or the knees, take it slow. You're still going to get the fitness. Take a walk instead of a run. Get on a stationary bicycle. Just move. 15 minutes a day on a stationary bicycle can be more effective for some people than even a run, because you're working every part of your body. Well, you're watching the news in the morning, jump on the bike.
Yeah, it's so easy to do, to, instead of being passive when you're sitting there watching the news, or just get your blood pumping a little bit, whether it's light stretches or something like that.
And if you're walking and you want to do a little more work for the upper body, walk with your water bottles in your hand. I think we joked too about the can of corn or something, a little bit of weight, and actually will strengthen the upper body as well. And when something hurts, just stop, stretch it out, and keep moving. If it continues to hurt, have it checked. But as a rule, it's the best thing you could do for yourself.
So good. About a minute. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last minute tips? And then I want to hear your website, how we can find out more.
Yes. I want people to not be afraid. And I also want people to feel that you talk about perfection. If you don't like the way you look in a bathing suit, instead of focusing on that, just put the suit on, go in the water, and go swimming. You're doing something so good for yourself. Let's forget about what's going on around us. You go to the gym and you feel a little inferior, or a little slower, or not as strong. Just go in and do what you can do. You be you, and you be the perfect you you can be.
We're all in this together.
Yes.
We all have those same feelings, right?
Yes.
And if anyone's
a
jerk to you in the gym, they're just a jerk.
That's right.
Sorry.
It's them and not you. Keep going back. Yes.
Looking forward to next week. You're going to come in and talk about how to decipher the right kind of organic food. But right now, can you give us your website as we sign out for today?
Yes, it's The Fitness Gourmet, www.thefitnessgourmet.com.
And we'll look forward to your new book coming out in mid-June. Eat Well, Live Well, Age Well. Her current one, Scrumptious Sandwiches, Salads, and Snacks. Patricia, thank you so much. We'll see you in just a few days.
Thank you, Amy.
Better than birds of a feather, you and me. We'll change the weather.
We love to profile our regional friends, and we have a great story out of Wichita to tell you about. Our new friend to the show for America Trends is Kathy Sweeney. She is with Botanica, the Wichita Gardens, and you can find more information at their website. But this is a small garden which grew to be the second most visited attraction in all of Wichita, and they've got some amazing things coming up, including some award-winning traveling exhibitions that you might want to check out whether you live near or far. So, Kathy, welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So tell me all about the Wichita Gardens. Then I want to figure out how you got involved with it, because I know you're very dedicated to it.
Yes. So it is our biggest attraction here in town. We have 18 acres, a very condensed garden. So yeah, we have lots of exciting things going on in the garden, from a bee house to our butterfly house and this brand new exhibit called Nature Connects.
So Nature Connects is, it's Sean Kenny, I understand, and he's some sort, he's got this award-winning traveling exhibition, and it's now on display for a few more months, right?
Correct. So, he's an artist from New York City, and he's an artist, but he used Lego bricks as his medium. So there's over 330,000 individual Lego pieces that's combined into the show with 15 different sculptures, and lots of these are life-size, so the scale of them are quite something to see.
Oh, that is so, that's almost like having Legoland come to you. 330,000 Lego pieces for 15 different sculptures. That has to be just a sight to behold. And it's got a variety of animals, insects, and what else, Kathy?
One of my personal favorites is we have 5 lily pads that actually lay on our pond. So they do float, if anyone was curious if Legos float.
So. Oh, wait, so you've got lily pads made of Legos that are floating on your ponds right now?
Yes, how cool is that? And they are a little over 5 feet in diameter. So these aren't small lilies. They're very large. One has a Victorian flower, and one has a really cute little frog on it. So, we have animals, we have insects, the lilies. Just 15 really cool detailed sculptures made completely out of Lego bricks.
Oh, but how long's it been there? I'll bet the community and the kids are just having such a ball with it and come back again and again.
Yeah, so it just opened 2 weeks ago, so it will be going until September 19th. So we are excited to have the show here for a couple more months, so plenty of time to get out here and check it out, and seeing these sculptures out in the elements of our beautiful gardens is really something special.
And then right after that, in October of this year, I know you've got, I see a bee on your Instagram account made of Legos, I can tell.
Yes! That was made by Lego ICT Dad. He's a local guy that's been, you know, coming up with some really fun things that are really unique to our garden. So he made that one in preparation of our bee house that we are opening. So we harvest and bottle and sell all of our honey, and it's such a cool process, and we're very into saving the bees. So we have built this bee house to educate our community. So the opening is here this weekend. So we have an observation hive, so people can come in, get a real up-close look at the bees, try to find the drone, find the queen bee, find the worker bees, and really get a really cool experience hands-on.
Okay, real quick, we're really in the middle of this, the interview, but I want you to say right now how people can get to you, and when does that exhibit start? Because the whole bee thing starts this weekend.
Yes, so this weekend we are having, it's called Take Flight. It's an event, and it's actually the opening of our butterfly house also. So it will be kind of the grand opening. You can come in. There's lots of interactive things. We'll have demonstrations. We'll have bee tastings and all sorts of extra special activities.
What's your address?
It is 701 Amidon Street in Wichita, Kansas, and our website is www.botanica.org.
Perfect, and make a note of it because that's not all. You have a Carousel Gardens event coming to Botanica in October of this year, which sounds like another major feature to me, Kathy.
Yeah, so, they're keeping us very busy around here. The Carousel Garden, we had an amusement park here in Wichita called Joyland, and that closed many years ago, and we have restored, it's taken almost 5 years to restore this carousel. It will be the only working Alan Herschel, who was the designer, carousel in the world. So it's 36 horses with 2 chariots that we're making wheelchair accessible. So we are putting that together with beautiful gardens around and a beautiful new carousel pavilion.
That's going to be so neat seeing that brought back to life. Is it okay? So that and the Lego thing, are these some of the biggest events you guys have ever had? Because they sound pretty cool.
Yep, they definitely are. So we just decided we keep growing and going big this year. So we thought, why not pile it all into 1 year?
Okay, and we just saw a children's garden. You've got a community garden that provides education for all ages. And you've got the Downing Children's Garden, which is a huge thing. And this opened, I think, in 2011. And right. Tell us what all that does. I'll bet it's educational and just a lot of fun for kids and parents alike.
Yeah, so the children's garden, there's lots of hands-on activities.
Oh, gorgeous.
They can plant, they can help us water. That's really where kids can get more of a hands-on experience. We have, it's called a musical maze with different instruments that they can walk through the hedges. We have a monster woods. We have a granny's cottage and a pavilion. We have a couple water features, but it's really a way to get kids out in nature, helping, getting that hands-on experience in a playful, fun area.
Kathy Sweeney is the Director of Special Events for Botanica, the Wichita Gardens in Kansas. Botanica.org is where you can find her. And Kathy, I think I read you guys have 18 acres?
We do. We have 18 acres that have developed gardens. And with the new carousel building, we're adding on another 8 acres. So we do have room to grow and have all intentions to keep this going.
So 18 now, it's going to be 26 in a few months then.
Yep.
That's a marked enlargement there. And so you've got that. And you've got this Lego thing going on now, the bee things, and then the carousel coming. But you have events that you're known for year round. Something called Illuminations, Blooms Brew, and some others that I saw that look pretty fancy and fun.
Yes. So Illuminations is one of our biggest fundraisers. Last year we had over 85,000 individuals come through our doors for a month long. We had put up over 2 million lights with different light shows that dance to music.
Oh, wow.
We have Santa's Cottage. We have chimeneas around, s'mores, carolers, and it's really a great holiday experience for our community. And then we also have events throughout the year for families and for youth, like our Blooms Brews Bloody Mary. So
that sounds festive.
The best, yeah, Bloody Mary in Wichita. So it's always a big honor to the winner, and we put it all over town. And we have fireworks displays and kids activities with face painters and bounce houses. So we have a little bit of everything for everybody.
Boy, if you can get to Wichita, Kansas for this any time this year, and I see some great things coming up for Halloween too. Kathy, thank you so much for sharing all this. Tell us your website again, would you?
Yes, www.botanica.org.
Hey, good luck with everything. Will you keep us posted? Because this has been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Kathy. We'll see you next time. Are you ready for some random thoughts on a lot of amazing things? Our next guest is a lawyer turned sports executive turned observationalist and raconteur. He's got just fascinating stories, acute observations, and sizzling pet peeves. Who doesn't love those? He is our own Andy Rooney, though younger, hipper, and unique. Well, he's got to be younger because Andy Rooney sadly has passed. He is coming to us from his home in the Hamptons, and he is Bill Goldstein. You've got to check out his website at billgoldstein.com, his Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. He is very active on social media and beyond. Great vlogs and blogs, and it's always such a treat to have him with us. And a bit of a big announcement later, but I want you all to stay tuned because he's got an upcoming podcast to tell us about, and I know you're excited because we hear from you, and I know you love it when Bill is on our show. Bill from the Hamptons, welcome back to America Trends.
It's always a pleasure, Amy. So nice to see you again.
It's so great to see you. You know, you were a big-time sports executive in New York and other places. And we've never actually talked, though, about sports things specifically and some of your observations about teams and players and things like that. So I just wanted to throw that out to you and see if you wanted to chat about any of that for a few minutes.
Well, you know, I put decades into the industry and started because I was a pretty fair athlete myself. So I'm always happy to talk about sports. And actually, I was just watching a little bit of the Golf Channel. You know, golf is a sport that I never learned how to play, and I regret it. I'll tell you my own special rules in a minute about golf. But here's the advice. The advice is that anybody who wants to prosper in the business world should have a golf game, because they're going to have opportunities to play with people. And if you can't convince somebody of your point of view while you're playing golf with them, when you got them for 4 or 5 hours, you have every chance in the world to demonstrate that you know, you're a good sport and all the rest. If you can't get it done in that environment, you're never going to get it done. But here's the key. Not only should a man have a golf game, but even better for women. And here's why. I've done a lot of corporate outings that are spousal. So the female executives bring their husbands, the male executives bring their wives or significant others, et cetera. And I see this all the time where the women executives who preponderantly don't play golf get left out of the golf outings. And maybe they'll go to the spa or there'll be other things for them to do. But I can almost see them saying to myself, darn, I wish I had a golf game because I could be out with the vice president now and getting closer and all the rest. So golf is not only a sport that you might come to enjoy, it's a tool. And if it's not in your quiver, it's a mistake. So now my own golf game is awful because I've never really put the time into it. And like anything else, of course, it takes time. But because I've had so many opportunities to play golf with pros and celebrities, etc., occasionally I can get them to agree to two special rules. Yeah.
Now what are those?
One is nobody looks for a golf ball.
Okay.
Now, of course, this is going to be a problem with pros, but if you're playing
time. Regular
people, yeah. Now, you can't stop and look for a golf ball. You can't slow us down. If you're a bum like me and you hit it in the woods, that's fine. Go up to about where it went in the woods and drop another ball, right? Now, if you do that, I can play with anybody because I'm not slowing them down. And then the second rule is a well-provisioned golf cart. Now, those two things that get you through 4 or 5 hours with golf and have a good time. Mark Twain said at one point, golf is a good walk ruin.
Right. I love that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a great weapon. It's a great tool. And people ought to have it in their grab bag. I wish I really did, and I didn't have to rely on those silly rules, and I could play golf with anybody. But anyway, golf is going great guns, and it's a very important business experience for people, actually. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you do. Oh, is that you, Bill? Did you get some? You guys get some footage of Bill? Oh no. Well, they've learned all about your character right there. See, that's the thing about golf, Bill. You can tell a lot about a person's character about how they play golf, how they drive the little cart there. It's something you should learn if you possibly have the time, for business sake and otherwise.
Yeah, and especially women. If women have a golf game, they'll surprise people and they'll get advantaged in ways that they wouldn't otherwise.
And it's a good... I was just going to say it's a good bonding experience for couples. You say you like it when couples play, and yeah. Also obviously as we talk about in business.
So and what else sports wise? Well,
you got more? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about soccer, right?
Okay.
Which is the biggest worldwide sport.
Well, they call it football everywhere else, but do you think it'll really grab hold in America? Like, it's never grabbed hold in America quite like it has in other destinations.
Well, not remotely. We've had soccer, big time soccer in this country for 50 years, Amy. Going back to when Pelé was playing in New York. And elsewhere. And there's been many iterations of these soccer leagues. And there are pockets of enthusiasm amongst Americans in Seattle and elsewhere. I think they support their teams. But the truth of the matter is that you see this footage, it's all passing. Now, we're going to see somebody shoot and score here because this is a highlight reel. But the fact of the matter is that in order to appreciate the sport, you have to appreciate passing. Not even shots on goal, and never mind actual scores, but you have to really understand the pattern of passing. And Americans just don't. We haven't grown up with the sport. We don't understand its subtleties. It's like taking a European to a baseball game. You know, by the second inning, they're asleep because they don't understand the subtleties of the game. And Americans don't understand. And of course, the ferocious way that they cheer overseas for the sport. I mean, it's almost like a religious experience. You know, and I can remember when I was a kid in high school, my high school started a soccer team and they were recruiting people to play. And I was listening, and I remember, and I didn't understand the rules, you know, and I'm listening to the guy explain the rules to me, and I'm saying to myself, now, wait a minute, what kind of crazy game is this? I can't use my hands, I can't use my arms, but I can use my head. And so the ball's going to come at me, I'm supposed to leap up and redirect it by banging my head into it. but I can't touch it. I can't use my arms or my hands. So anyway, a little gag. Lots of people love the sport, love the rules, and understand them. But we've had a long history in America with sports, I mean, in this sport, and I think the verdict is in. I don't ever think it's going to be big in America with Americans.
Well, and, you know, it does make sense, though, that other countries call it football. We call it soccer, so we have to really get it. You say you were a fair athlete yourself in certain areas. 30 seconds before break, we're going to hold you over. But what sports did you play when you were a younger man, Bill?
I played them all. If there was a ball, I played it.
You know? Okay. So,
I played baseball. I played basketball. I played football. I didn't play soccer. I didn't play golf, as I've explained. I didn't play tennis. Now, tennis came to be the sport that I'm most involved with, but as a kid, we didn't play much tennis.
Yet you still made it so big as a sports marketing executive and so many more things. And we're looking forward to hearing about your podcast in the next segment and some of your musings of the day with Bill Goldstein. Stay tuned. I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah, girl. Well, we love it when our ex-California hippie lawyer turned sports executive turned raconteur Bill Goldstein joins us with any of his musings because, you know, it's not just anyone. You don't want to sit around with friends and hear just any of their random thoughts. Not everyone is quite as interesting as Bill, but he has got illuminating stories, acute observations, and sizzling pet peeves. We found him on Twitter and just fell in love with his vlogs and blogs. And so, Bill, we say welcome back to America Trends.
It's always a treat, Amy. Thanks for having me.
We are so glad to have you. Okay, so before we get started on some of your other musings, mistakes, some of your recent sightings, which I love when you bring those up, and first names, some of the upcoming topics. Do you want to drop a little tease about your podcast? Because this has to be very exciting for you. You're going to be very busy.
Well, you know, everybody was telling me to do podcasts, and I ignored it for a long time, but I think it's really the era of podcasting now. Mm-hmm. And so I've been preparing one, and I'll give you the name of it, which you might get a kick out of.
Okay, and you're revealing it for the first time on America Trends right now, right, Bill?
That's right. The name of the podcast is going to be, if you scroll up a little bit, Not That You Asked.
That is great. Bill, I really love that title, and I didn't know it before you said it just now. Pilot of Bill's podcast, Not That You Asked, coming up. Yeah. Episode one's already online, sir?
No. You're looking at a website.
Oh, we got a preview.
Secret
preview.
It's not up yet. They're polishing it. I think you get a kick out of it. It'll be quite similar to this. But they get busier with the audio and the music and the other affectations. I'm just shooting off my mouth as usual.
I tell you, Bill, I like a lot of things. I'm not entertained by all of them. It takes a lot to, you know, get me excited. But I saw your Twitter and your video, your vlogs on there, and I said, we've got to have this guy on the show. He's got to be our Andy Rooney. And I'm so glad you were able to make time for us. We talked a little bit about your sports background in the last segment and what you think of golf and soccer. And you've got some other things on your mind, some random thoughts that we just want to hone in on what you are thinking these days, Bill.
Well, you know, you heard me comment, I think, a show or two ago about a great sign I saw at a library where the librarian was tucked away in her own thoughts and business, her head down, but she had a sign up on her desk said, please interrupt me. And I thought, boy, what a wonderful thought that is, and how different it is from so many other people who are providing service who don't want to be interrupted. Mm-hmm. So the other day I see another great sign. It's so simple, but it's so smart. This is outside a gas station.
Uh-huh.
And what do they have as a sign? Clean restrooms.
Oh, my gosh. That is like a mirage. That's a unicorn right there.
Right. And they have it right out there, and it's drawing people in, as you would suppose. You
raise the price 20 cents if you have got a clean bathroom. It's worth it.
Yeah, very clever. So that'd give me a kick. And we were talking maybe not this show but earlier about being right and wrong. You know, I see people often these days, they're hesitant to act because they're afraid of making a mistake. And that's normal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's normal. But you got to be aware of the cost of inaction. And very often the cost of inaction is worse than the cost of a mistake. And at least if you act, you give yourself a chance to succeed. If you don't act because you're afraid of making a mistake, well, you have no chance of success at all. And the truth of the matter is that there's an upside to being wrong, right? I mean, if you're wrong and you know you're wrong, well, then you've learned something, right? You've grown. Really, the only way we learn is by making mistakes, by having experiences where we've made a bad judgment, we see it, and we learn from it. So although people should remain thoughtful about what they do, I think that if you're not sure, yes or no, should I do it, should I not do it, I say do it.
Bill, I really love this topic. And when you said you were going to talk about mistakes, I had no idea this was your issue, but I was just thinking about this exact thing. I was marathoning this show on CBS called SEAL Team, and it's about SEALs. I don't know how accurate it is, but they talked about when you work the problem, you decide, then don't doubt. And that's so much about leadership. It's so much about conducting your life. And you really have to do this, or else you'll just be stuck in confusion all the time. So I love that you talk about this. And you must have learned this as in your amazing career as a sports executive.
Well, there were many times when you had to make a call. You know, you can think about it. But, you know, at some point, you know, you have to decide whether you're going to act. And you learn from inaction. You know, I mean, we see that all the time. You hold back, you wait. And what the old expression, right? You snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's true. Yeah.
No action itself is a decision. Boy, we've gotten really right. Deep here, Bill. More on that, but also I know you're going to talk about first names, and you say immigrants defer too much. What do you mean by that, my friend?
Well, this also is a serious topic, but I think it's important. Mm-hmm. You see people from overseas, not just from South America, but from Asia, from wherever. From Europe, elsewhere, where they have complicated first names, complicated for Americans, right?
Sure.
And they assume that Americans won't bother to learn their name, so they abbreviate it and they Americanize it in order to make it easier for us, mm-hmm. Yeah? Well, I understand the theory on that that I just explained, but I think that it's too bad. And when I am encountered with somebody, I had a fella here this morning doing work, and he told me what his name was, and I knew that wasn't his name, his real name. And I asked him, I said, all right, but what is your real name? And he gave it to me.
20 seconds to finish your thought, Bill.
And I asked him to spell it for me. And then I repeated it. And then I repeated it again. And I'll tell you, the guy was glowing by Aww. The time I was finished.
Yeah.
It was a nice thing to do. But also a smart thing to do, because now the guy's eager to do work for me, and I'm sure he'll do great work and be thankful that I took the interest. So we don't have to abbreviate their names to make it easy. Let's care about the people individually, yeah?
So true. You think of things like Schwarzenegger and even Goldstein. So many Jewish people tried to change, and it's these beautiful names. And we thank Bill Goldstein for being with us. See you next time, sir.
Doing a good job.
We sure are glad you've been with us. Thank you to Bill Goldstein and his never-ending musings on all things from sports to gas station bathrooms. There it is. Please interrupt me at the library. He talked about that. And then clean restrooms. You see those signs? You're all about going there, and you think of Bill Goldstein. You know, follow him on social media. He's really a lot of fun. Patricia Greenberg was here. She's the fitness gourmet. You can check out her website and find out great ways to get your movement for the day in without doing all this diehard gym stuff. And there it is, the fitness gourmet. Also, we say thanks to Kathy Sweeney from Wichita. Finally, we want to tell you, you can find us on our website, 24/7, U2America.com, for our audience there, our TV audience, and our BizTalk Radio, radio audience. And we thank all of you, no matter what platform you're on. And you might be watching us online as well. We have streaming at all these places you can find us, and we are on social media. We hope you will go there. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can like us, friend us, retweet us, all these things. We have U2America sites and America Trends itself sites. So please go there and we can all hang out and be social, and because that's what they're there for, right? Hey, finally tonight, we love to show you trailers as we head out, some fun things heading to the theaters. There's a new movie coming out in a few weeks called The Dead Don't Die. You like zombies, they're all the rage in so much media. This one has an all-star cast. Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Tilda Swanson, or Swinton, sorry, you know who she is. A lot of fun people here, and this is really fun to watch. Enjoy, and we are going to say goodbye from us for now.
In this peaceful town, on these quiet streets, something terrifying, something horrifying is coming.
Excuse me, we're closed. Get away from me!
What the hell was it? A wild animal?
This is really awful. Maybe the worst thing I've ever seen.
What was it, wild animals?
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking zombies.
What?
You know, the undead. Ghouls.
You look gorgeous.
Oh my. Are you in this together?
Flesh-eating zombies.
Don't joke, it's really, really creepy.
Oh, man. This isn't gonna end well.
They gravitate towards things they did when they were alive.
Coffee.
Chardonnay.
Did she just say Chardonnay?
Yeah, she did.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to my world, zombies.
I've been telling you this is all gonna end badly.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I'm quite confident of my ability to defend myself against the undead.
I can see that.
Excuse me. Those are some pretty good cuts. You played some minor league ball, didn't you?
Well, a little class A. It was a long time ago.